Ce matin, je voudrais parler de la présence de Dieu.
So this morning, I'd like to speak of the presence of God.
Oui. Qu'est-ce que c'est que prier?
What is it to pray?
C'est surtout accueillir une présence.
Above all, it's to receive a presence.
Accueillir la présence de Dieu.
Welcome the presence of God.
Dans notre vie, pour nous laisser visiter par cette présence.
Welcome Him into our lives to allow ourselves to be visited by His presence.
Nous unir à cette présence de Dieu.
And unite ourselves to God's presence.
Et alors, Dieu est présent. De différentes manières.
So God is present in different ways.
Il est présent dans l'Eucharistie.
He is present in the Eucharist.
Il est présent dans sa parole.
He is present in His Word.
Il est présent dans notre cœur.
He is present in our hearts.
Puis donc, chacune de ces formes de la présence de Dieu.
And each one of these forms of God's presence.
Donc, sont différentes l'une de l'autre, bien sûr.
They're different one to the other, of course.
Mais chacune est importante.
But each one is important.
Il peut orienter notre vie de prière.
And each one can orient our prayer life.
Donc je vais parler de différents aspects de la présence de Dieu.
So I'll speak of different aspects of God's presence.
Et montrer aussi comment ça peut nourrir notre prière.
And also show how this can nourish our prayer.
Il y a une première remarque que je voudrais faire avant de commencer.
So there's a first comment I'd like to make before beginning.
C'est que là où Dieu est présent.
That where God is present.
Il est aussi caché.
He is also hidden.
C'est pas une présence qu'on peut percevoir. Avec des moyens scientifiques.
It's not a presence that we can measure with scientific methods.
Si je prends par exemple le cas de la présence dans l'Eucharistie,
if I can take, for example, the case of his presence in the Eucharist,
notre foi chrétienne nous dit que Jésus est réellement présent.
Our Christian faith tells us that Jesus is truly present.
Une présence vivante,
with a living presence.
Une présence qui rayonne sur nous, qui nous transforme.
A presence that shines on us and transforms us.
Mais cette présence est aussi cachée.
But this presence is also hidden.
Si vous prenez un microscope et vous examinez une hostie,
if you take a microscope and examine the host,
on ne trouvera pas la présence de Dieu.
You won't find the presence of God.
Il y a eu des miracles pour nous encourager à croire.
So there have been miracles to encourage us to believe.
Ils sont beaux et importants.
And they're beautiful and important.
Je dirais de manière habituelle,
but I would say that in a normal sense,
ce qui nous permet de percevoir la présence de Dieu,
what allows us to perceive God's presence,
c'est d'abord la foi.
Is first faith.
C'est pas d'abord une démarche de type scientifique, hein.
It's not to take a scientific path.
Mais c'est la foi qui nous permet de percevoir et d'accueillir la présence de Dieu.
It's faith that allows us to receive the presence of God.
Quand je m'approche du mystère de l'Eucharistie,
when I come close to the mystery of the Eucharist,
avec foi,
with faith,
en accueillant la foi d'Église,
in receiving the faith of the Church,
avec amour,
with love,
et peu à peu, cette présence,
little by little, this presence
becomes an experience.
Je me rends compte qu'effectivement,
ce que l'Église enseigne est vrai.
I realize that, yes, what the Church teaches is true.
Et qu'à travers l'amour de l'Eucharistie,
and that through the love of the Eucharist,
le Seigneur se communique à moi.
The Lord is communicating Himself to me.
Donc, j'en faisons une expérience à certains moments.
So at certain times, we have this experience.
Et c'est vrai que ça suppose une démarche de foi.
But it's true that this assumes that we're walking in faith.
Oui, donc la présence de Dieu n'est pas toujours accessible de manière immédiate.
The presence of God is not always accessible in an immediate way.
C'est vrai que parfois on voudrait que la présence de Dieu soit plus évidente.
It's true that sometimes we would like for God's presence to be more evident.
Que tous ceux qui ne croient pas soient confondus.
And that everyone who doesn't believe would be contradicted.
Bon, ça arrivera à la fin des temps.
And that will happen at the end of time.
Tout genou pliera devant Dieu.
Where every knee will bow before God.
Je dirais dans le cours de l'histoire,
but I would say that throughout history,
Dieu ne veut pas imposer sa présence.
God does not want to impose his presence.
Dieu veut être accueilli, non pas par une obligation,
God wants to be welcomed, not out of obligation,
mais par la confiance, par l'amour,
but in trust and love,
par la foi,
and in faith.
C'est pour ça que Dieu se fait discret.
This is why God has made himself discreet.
Il se fait pauvre.
Why he makes himself poor sometimes.
Il vient frapper la porte de notre cœur.
He comes to knock on the door of our hearts.
Il nous donne des signes.
And give us signs.
Mais il a besoin de notre oui.
But he needs our yes.
Mais Dieu veut être trouvé par la foi et par l'amour.
God wishes to be discovered in faith and in love.
Et aussi parce qu'il nous respecte, hein.
Because he respects us.
Enfin, il y a une réalité qui est mystérieuse dans tout cela.
So there's a mysterious reality in all of this.
Je voulais simplement encore insister sur cette dimension de la foi.
But I wanted to insist again on this dimension of faith.
Oui, la clé qui nous ouvre la porte de la connaissance de Dieu.
The key that allows us to open the door of knowledge of God.
C'est principalement l'attitude de foi.
Is principally our attitude of faith.
Je ne veux pas mépriser les autres manière de nous ouvrir à Dieu.
But we can't despise or look down on the other ways of coming close to God.
Sensibilité, notre intelligence.
Our intellect, our feelings.
Mais rester quand même vraiment fondé sur cette réalité de la foi.
But all the same, we must be founded in this reality of faith.
Alors, la première présence de Dieu dont je voudrais parler un petit peu.
So the first presence of God that I'd like to speak of.
Je crois qu'elle est importante et qu'on a peut-être à redécouvrir aujourd'hui.
I think it's important. It's something we should maybe rediscover today.
C'est la présence de Dieu dans la nature.
Is the presence of God in nature.
Dans sa création.
In his creation.
Comme dit le psaume, les cieux chantent la gloire de Dieu.
As the psalm says, the heavens are singing the glory of God.
Il y a quelques jours, j'ai rencontré un astrophysicien.
A few days ago, I met an astrophysicist.
Qui aime beaucoup son travail.
Who really loves his work.
Et il me citait justement ce psaume.
And he cited this psalm to me.
Les cieux chantent la gloire de Dieu.
The heavens are singing the glory of God.
Alors, il faut pas confondre Dieu avec sa création.
So we can't confuse God with his creation.
Parfois, il y a la tentation de créer une religion un peu panthéiste.
Sometimes we can be tempted to create a religion that's kind of pantheist.
On identifie Dieu avec l'ensemble de ce qui existe.
Where we identify God with what exists.
Alors, Dieu est distant de sa création.
So God is distant from his creation.
Il la dépasse infiniment.
He surpasses it infinitely.
Mais en même temps, il est présent dans ses œuvres.
But at the same time, he is present in his works.
Il montre sa sagesse,
he shows his wisdom,
son amour,
his love,
sa puissance,
his power,
à travers les œuvres.
Through his works.
Et dans le tableau d'un grand artiste,
in the painting of a great artist,
on reconnaît comme la personnalité de l'artiste.
We recognize the personality of the artist.
On regarde un tableau de Rembrandt ou de Frangelico,
when we look at a painting of Rembrandt or Frangelico,
mais la création aussi,
but in creation too,
elle porte l'empreinte de Dieu.
It carries the imprint of God.
Pour ça, elle est vraiment très, très précieuse.
And for this reason, it's very precious.
Il y a un prêtre orthodoxe qui disait la chose suivante.
There's an Orthodox priest who said,
ce qui est très audacieux pour un orthodox,
which is something very audacious for an Orthodox.
Il dit qu'une feuille d'arbre vaut plus que 10 icônes.
He said that the leaf on a tree is worth more than 10 icons.
Ça vient directement de la main de Dieu, d'une certaine manière.
Because in a certain way, it comes directly from the hand of God. And the first word that God gives us is the word of creation, the beauty of the world, the splendor of the light of the sun, all of the beauty in nature is really a word of God to invite us to trust, and to put ourselves in God's hands,
dans la confiance en son amour et en sa sagesse,
in trust in his love and his wisdom.
J'ai vécu pas mal d'années en Italie.
I lived in Italy for a good number of years.
On habitait une maison qui était à l'extérieur de Rome.
And we lived in a house that was outside Rome.
Assez loin, à 700 mètres d'altitude.
It was at 700 meters above sea level.
Il y avait très, très belle vue sur toute la plaine de Rome.
And there was a very beautiful view of all of the plains around Rome.
Et la chapelle, en fait, elle était sur la terrasse.
And the chapel was on the terrace.
Et le soir, quand on sortait de l'office de vêpres,
and in the evening, when we went out to say Vespers,
on marchait sur la terrasse,
and we walked on the terrace,
très souvent, il y avait des couchers de soleil absolument magnifiques.
Very often, there were really beautiful sunsets.
Et moi, à cette époque-là, j'étais responsable de la communauté.
And at that time, I was in charge of that house.
Et j'avais de temps en temps des soucis.
And sometimes I was worried for this problem or that problem in the house. And it really did me a lot of good. Sometimes going out of the chapel and seeing the splendor of the sun that was setting. And I felt that God was speaking to me. And he was saying, why are you so worried? Look at what I've done. Look at this beauty. Everything I've created, I've made it for you.
Le monde est si beau?
Why is the world so beautiful?
Les si bien?
Why do the birds sing so well?
Eh bien, c'est une parole que Dieu nous adresse.
It's a word that God addresses to us.
Une parole d'encouragement.
A word of encouragement.
Vois ma puissance et ma sagesse.
See my wisdom and my power.
Et te fais un peu moins de soucis.
And then worry a little less.
C'est vrai que c'est une chose qui est simple, mais qui est tellement belle.
It's true, it's something that's very simple, but so beautiful.
Il y a une consolation qui nous est donnée dans la création.
There's a consolation given to us in creation.
Je pense que parfois c'est une très, très bonne chose pour nous.
And I think sometimes it's very good for us
de prier dans la nature.
To pray in nature.
Simplement d'accueillir la nature.
Simply to receive nature.
cette réalité qui nous est donnée,
this reality that's given to us,
ce premier cadeau de Dieu,
this first gift from God,
qui vient vraiment de sa miséricorde et de son amour,
that really comes from his mercy and his love.
Jean de Montfort, il dit dans un de ses livres,
Saint Louis de Montfort, he said in one of his books,
il dit que Dieu déploie plus de sagesse et plus de puissance,
that God has more power and more wisdom
pour conduire une seule âme à la sainteté,
in guiding one soul to holiness,
que pour créer l'univers entier,
than in creating the whole universe.
C'est vrai que chacun d'entre nous,
and it's true that each one of us
est bien plus précieux pour Dieu,
is much more precious for God than everything that's been created in the universe. The billions of galaxies, all of this.
C'est beau pour nous d'accueillir la création.
It's beautiful for us to receive creation
comme le premier cadeau de Dieu,
as the first gift from God,
comme une parole d'encouragement,
as a word of encouragement.
Et puis, nous avons besoin de ce contact avec la nature.
And we need this contact with nature.
Passer de temps en temps un moment seul dans la nature,
to spend a moment alone from time to time in nature, to walk,
respirer,
to breathe, look,
sentir,
and to feel,
accueillir le réel,
and welcome, receive what is real,
comme un cadeau de Dieu,
as a gift from God.
Ça peut nous faire beaucoup de bien.
This can do us a lot of good.
Et trop souvent, malheureusement, l'homme moderne, il est coupé de la création.
Too often, our modern world is cut off from creation.
On est tout le temps devant nos écrans, entre l'écran du téléphone, du smartphone, de l'ordinateur et la télévision.
We're always looking at a screen, whether it's our cell phones, our computer, our TV screen, whatever it is.
Tout le temps dans un monde que nous avons créé.
And at the same time, we're in a world that we've created.
Parfois, nous sommes coupés, je dirais, de ce don de la nature, et c'est dommage.
And so sometimes we're cut off from this world of nature, and that's too bad.
Surtout, je dirais qu'on a beaucoup de chance aujourd'hui.
And I would say we have so much, we're so lucky today.
On voit déjà l'homme du Moyen Âge qui s'émerveille devant la beauté de la création.
When we think of the men of the medieval period that were so in awe of creation.
Il y a un beau texte qu'on lit pendant la vigile pascale.
There's a beauty in the vigil, in the Paschal vigil.
Je rappelle plus, il y a sept lectures, vous savez.
Oh, there's a reading in the reading during the Paschal vigil.
Il y a une qui dit,
and there's one that says
chaque étoile,
that each star
dit au Seigneur, me voici,
says to the Lord, I am here.
Chaque étoile brille avec joie pour Dieu.
Each star shines with joy for God.
Donc oui, il y a cet émerveillement déjà depuis toujours.
So there's this wonder that we've had always.
Mais aujourd'hui, on a encore plus de chance.
And today we're even more lucky.
On connaît beaucoup mieux la création.
Because we know creation even better.
Le ciel,
the heavens, the sky,
à quel point il est immense.
How much the sky extends.
Il y a quelques années, je devais aller au Liban.
A few years ago, I went to Lebanon.
Et puis j'avais envie de connaître un peu qu'est-ce qu'on sait actuellement sur l'origine et le développement de l'univers.
And I kind of wanted to know what we know about the development and the origin of the universe.
Parce que je suis de formation scientifique.
Because I've been formed in science.
Mais depuis mon entrée en communauté, j'avais rien lu sur ces questions-là.
But since I entered the community, I haven't read anything about this question.
J'avais envie de savoir un peu où on en est aujourd'hui.
And I kind of wanted to know where we're at with it today.
Le Big Bang,
about surrounding the Big Bang, this kind of stuff.
Le source de l'univers.
The source of the universe.
Et dans la librairie de l'aéroport,
and in the airport,
j'ai trouvé un bouquin,
I found a book
qui s'appelait Les dernières nouvelles du cosmos,
that was the latest news of the cosmos,
écrit par un astrophysicien canadien,
and it was written by a Canadian astrophysicist.
J'ai lu ce bouquin deux fois, une fois l'aller, une fois au retour.
And I read the book twice, once on the way and once on the way back.
Ça m'a fait plus de bien qu'un bouquin de spiritualité.
And it did me more good than a spiritual book.
Parce que c'est tellement extraordinaire.
Because it's so extraordinary.
Parce qu'on connaît aujourd'hui tout le monde.
The things we know today about the world.
On sait par exemple que les atomes dont nous sommes formés.
When we know, for example, that the atoms were formed with.
Ils ont été fabriqués dans des étoiles il y a des milliards d'années.
They were made in the stars billions of years ago.
Oui, c'est des choses absolument extraordinaires.
They're extraordinary things.
On sait que c'est notre Dieu qui a fait ça.
And when we know that it's our God who did this,
on peut être très fier.
We can be very proud.
Mon père, c'est quelqu'un de fantastique.
My father is a really great guy. He's amazing.
Bon, j'en dirai pas plus, mais...
So I won't say more about that.
Mais de temps en temps, ça nous fait beaucoup, beaucoup de bien.
But from time to time, it really does us good.
Les moments de solitude dans la nature.
Times of solitude in nature.
Ça toujours fait partie des expériences spirituelles profondes.
And this can really be part of a profound spiritual experience.
Cet amour de la création, on trouve chez tous les saints.
We find a love for creation in all of the saints.
Saint François d'Assise ou Jean de la Croix.
Whether it's Francis of Assisi or John of the Cross.
Qui emmenait souvent les novices prier dans la nature.
They often went out to pray in nature.
Il y a une réalité là qui est très, très belle.
So there's a reality there that's very beautiful.
Qui peut nourrir notre prière, hein, de manière facile.
It can nourish our prayer in a very simple way.
Alors, le deuxième point dont je voudrais dire quelques mots.
The second point I'd like to say a few words about.
Là, c'est un point qui est immense, hein.
So that's it's a subject that's very vast.
Et aussi très, très important pour notre vie de prière.
And very important for our prayer life.
C'est donc où est-ce que Dieu se révèle?
Where does God reveal himself?
Se cache et se révèle en même temps.
Where does he hide himself and also reveal himself at the same time?
C'est dans l'humanité du Christ.
It's in the humanity of Christ.
Donc c'est tout le mystère de l'incarnation.
It's the mystery of the incarnation.
Qui est fondamental pour la piété chrétienne.
That is fundamental for Christian piety.
Mais comme dit Paul à propos de Jésus,
as Paul says about Jesus,
il dit, en lui habite corporellement.
He says in him lives in a corporal way.
Toute la plénitude de la divinité.
All of the fullness of divinity.
Dans l'humanité du Christ,
in the humanity of Christ,
la richesse du mystère de Dieu.
We find all of the richness of God's mystery.
Tout le monde n'a pas forcément découvert, hein, mais...
Maybe we haven't, not everybody has discovered it.
Dans la grâce du Saint-Esprit, oui,
but with the grace of the Spirit,
dans la foi et l'amour,
through faith and love,
dans ce contact personnel avec Jésus,
in this personal contact with Jesus,
bien, nous entrons dans le mystère de Dieu.
We enter into the mystery of God.
The humanity of Jesus,
his life, his birth, his public life, his death, his resurrection, his entry into heaven, all of these mysteries of Jesus' life, they're a door. A door that allows us to enter into the mystery of God. That allows us to know God deeply. And also allows us to be visited by God.
Il y a tous ces mystères du Christ.
There's all this mystery of Christ.
Depuis sa conception,
from his conception,
le temps qu'il a passé dans le sein de Marie,
and the time that he spent in the womb of Mary,
son enfance,
his childhood,
sa vie cachée à Nazareth,
his hidden life in Nazareth,
sa vie publique,
his public life,
gestes, ses paroles,
his actions, his words,
tout ce qu'il a accompli,
all of the things he did,
sa mort et sa résurrection.
Up till his death, his resurrection.
Chacun de ces mystères de la vie de Jésus,
each one of these mysteries of the life of Jesus,
c'est pas simplement une réalité passée, vous voyez,
is not just a past reality,
mais ça reste une réalité présente,
but it's a present reality still.
Chacun des mystères de la vie de Jésus,
and each one of the mysteries of Jesus' life,
c'est à la fois une source de lumière,
is at the same time a source of light,
de compréhension,
of comprehension,
du mystère de Dieu,
of the mystery of God,
et en même temps une source de grâce.
And also a source of grace,
une réalité qui nous transforme,
a reality that transforms us, that heals us,
quand nous accueillons cette réalité,
when we receive this reality.
Donc là, il y a toute une dimension extrêmement riche de la prière chrétienne.
So there's a dimension of Christian prayer that's extremely rich.
Donc ce contact avec Jésus,
this contact with Jesus,
parler à Jésus comme avec un ami,
speaking to Jesus as we speak to a friend,
le regarder,
looking at him
dans le crucifix,
in the crucifix,
dans une icône,
in an icon,
regarder la
looking at the crib of the Nativity at Christmas.
Méditer les événements de la vie de Jésus.
Meditating the events of Jesus' life.
Méditer les paroles du Christ.
Meditating on the words of Christ.
Ce sont des sources fondamentales pour la prière chrétienne.
These are fundamental sources for Christian prayer.
On voit que dans toute l'histoire de l'Église,
and we see that throughout the history of the Church,
avec l'aide de l'Esprit Saint,
with the help of the Holy Spirit,
les chrétiens ont accueilli ces aspects de la vie de Jésus.
Christians have been able to receive all of these aspects of Jesus' life
comme des sources de lumière,
as sources of light,
de connaissance de Dieu,
of knowledge of God,
et comme des sources de grâce aussi,
and sources of grace as well,
qui nous transforme et,
that transform us
et nous sanctifie peu à peu,
and sanctify us little by little.
Donc là, il y a une richesse absolument inépuisable.
So there's an inexhaustible richness.
Jean de la Croix dit une chose qui est très belle.
And John of the Cross said something very beautiful.
Les saints et les docteurs,
all of the saints and the doctors,
ont découvert tant de choses en méditant sur la personne de Jésus.
They discovered so much meditating on the person of Jesus.
Mais il reste encore bien plus à découvrir.
But there's even more to discover still.
Il s'agit pas de changer la foi, oui.
So it's not a question of changing faith. It's really, our faith has an inexhaustible richness.
Et nous n'aurons jamais fini.
And we will never be finished.
Connaître la profondeur du mystère du Christ.
We'll never be finished knowing the depth of the mystery of Christ.
La hauteur, la profondeur, la largeur, comme dit Saint Paul.
The depth, the width, the depth, and the breadth.
As connaissance du Christ,
this knowledge of Christ
qui surpasse toute connaissance.
That surpasses all of our knowledge.
C'est très beau d'avoir ce désir, oui.
And it's beautiful to have this desire
dans cet océan,
to really dive into this ocean
de sagesse et de grâce,
of wisdom and grace.
Qu'est la personne de Jésus.
That is the person of Jesus. In his humanity, he contains all of the richness of divinity, all of the treasure of the wisdom of God, all of the treasure of wisdom and of knowledge are contained in the person of Christ. And we're called to receive this and to deepen without ceasing. And also to live out this mystery. It's of an extraordinary richness. As we are shown, there's a lot of beautiful Christian literature about this. There are treasures. So we can take just one example. The mystery of the childhood of Jesus. It's an extraordinary thing. That God became a little child. Man always wanted to see God, to see the face of God. And the first time that we really see the face of God, the face of somebody who is God, what did we see? A little baby. Nothing at all. All fragile, tiny, that really needs protection. This is what we saw. And this tells us something of the mystery of God, the tendreness of God, the gentleness of God, the humility of God that made himself so small for us so that nobody would be afraid of him. This reveals something to us of the mystery of God that nobody could imagine. You know how touching a little baby can be. When there's a family that has a little baby, everybody comes to look at it. And then when we manage to make him smile, everyone's very happy. The smile of a baby, there's nothing more beautiful in the world. It's so mysterious, this new life. At the same time, it's fragile. But there's also all of this promise. So God was a little baby. And this reveals a lot of things to us. This puts a lot of things into place in the way that we understand God. And not only is this mystery a source of light, it's also a source of grace. It's not just a past reality. It's still a present reality. The childhood of God, it still exists. And this is a mystery that heals us. The wounds of our childhood, of our pride, of our complications. The childhood of Jesus can heal us. Jesus who says, if you do not become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so it's exactly in contemplating the childhood of Jesus, the infancy of God, that we can re-become little by little. Little children again, to rediscover simplicity, an absolute trust, a complete freedom, openness that allows us to welcome all of the richness of the kingdom. So there I'm taking just a little example
montrer quelle richesse infinie,
to show the infinite richness that there is in the mystery of Christ, how he can nourish our prayer, and that this friendship with Jesus, this communion with Christ, that is also an imitation of Jesus. It's a whole path that's proposed to us of life, of discovering progressively and being transformed inside. And we have to be thirsty for this. A lot of times we look to know a lot about things that aren't really that interesting. We lose a lot of time keeping up with the latest news. And in the news, there's never anything new. It's always the same thing. And the news that we read, the next day, the newspaper from yesterday, it disappears very quickly. The only real new thing is the newness of God's love that is always new and that never grows old. The Bible is not like an old newspaper that's no longer interesting, because what's interesting is what's new, what's going on today. The only true news, the good news, is that of the infinite love of God in his richness that reveals itself day after day. So I'm not saying we shouldn't read the newspaper. This allows us to pray for the world. And this is important. It's part of our vocation. I spoke of that yesterday. But let us ask the Lord for this grace to be thirsty. Thirsty to know Christ and all of the richness and the wisdom of God that is revealed to us through Christ. So this contact with the humanity of Christ, we can live it out in different ways. We can read the scriptures, contemplate the Eucharist, contemplate an image of Jesus, repeat the name of Jesus. You know that in Eastern Christian tradition, among our Russian or Greek brothers and sisters, there's an old tradition of prayer that is just made up of repeating in our hearts the name of Jesus, that contains everything. And in a very simple way, it's a way of being in communion with the Lord and being open to the richness of his grace. I think this is prayer, this contact with Jesus. And through this contact with the Lord, we are open to the mystery of God. And this can be seen in, or this can be practiced in many different ways, in the rosary as well. So another point I'd like to say a few words about, that's very important for prayer life as well, is the presence of God in his word, the divine presence in Scripture. And sometimes he's hidden there too. The scriptures are sometimes mysterious. We don't understand everything the first time. But if we meditate on the word of God day after day, if we pray with the Psalms, if we keep in our heart this or that verse from Scripture, a verse from a psalm, a word of Jesus in the gospel, or a passage from Isaiah that's touched me, let us keep that in our hearts, as the Virgin Mary did.
chaque fois que nous gardons la parole de Dieu dans notre cœur,
each time that we hold on to the word of God in our heart,
Dieu se communique à nous.
God is communicating himself to us. God is present in his word.
C'est un petit peu analogue à un sacrement.
It's kind of parallel to a sacrament.
Quand Saint Jérôme parle de la messe,
when Saint Jerome speaks of the Mass, the Vatican II spoke of this too.
C'est que quand nous célébrons l'Eucharistie,
when we celebrate the Eucharist,
il y a une double table qui nous est proposée.
There are two tablets that are proposed.
La table de la parole,
the tablet of the Word,
et la table du corps et du sang du Seigneur.
And the tablet of the body and blood of Christ.
Et nous sommes appelés à nous nourrir des deux.
And we're invited to be nourished at both of them.
Nourrir de l'Eucharistie,
to nourish ourselves with the Eucharist,
et nourrir aussi de l'Écriture,
but also nourish ourselves with the Scripture. That is proposed to us, that's commented on to us during each Eucharist. And it's an important nourishment for our hearts, for our intellect, for our love. And the word of Scripture has a very particular grace to fortify our faith, to allow us to grow in hope, and to wake love up in us. So it's mysterious, but there's something that's very beautiful, and you've all experienced this. Sometimes it's a passage we've read that says nothing in particular to us. And then one day, this same passage of Scripture touches me very deeply and gives me a great light, a consolation, an interior strength. Sometimes we can really rely on the Scriptures during certain difficulties, certain time of struggle. We can really draw strength from the Scripture. And this is a really wonderful support for us. And sometimes it's a beautiful experience. It's not just reserved for mystics or theologians, but it's for all of us. To experience how much a certain passage that was written 2,500 years ago by a prophet in a completely different culture to my own, how much this word can speak to me and meet me in my situation today, in my suffering, in my questions. This passage comes and it gives me a light. And God speaks to my heart through the Scriptures. Sometimes we're a bit superficial. We would like for God to speak to us, and we're not reading the Bible. So there's a contradiction there. Because the normal way for God to speak to us, but he can do it through a million ways, but especially through the Scripture. And then something that's very beautiful is that each one of us can discover in the Scripture things that nobody else has discovered, even not even Saint Augustine, because the Holy Spirit is given to us today as well. He allows us to understand things in a very personal way. That in a certain passage of Scripture, I find a very particular light for my life today. And this is a beautiful experience. So what's the secret for Scriptures to open up so that the Scriptures might speak? Well, we have to have patience. But I think it's just like what I was saying about prayer life. We must read it in faith, in prayer. And I think that the most important, the secret that allows for Scripture to speak, is our desire for conversation. Of conversion.
désir de conversion.
Our desire for conversion.
Si je lis la Bible simplement pour enrichir ma culture.
If I'm just reading the Bible to enrich my to be more cultured.
Pour impressionner les autres en faisant plein de citations.
And in impressing other people by making a lot of quotations.
Il ne se passera pas grand chose.
Not a lot will happen.
Si je lis l'écriture.
But if I read the scripture.
Pour me convertir.
To convert.
Alors il se passera quelque chose.
Then something will happen. And the scripture will speak to me. I say, Lord, I believe it's your word. It's not always very clear. But I believe it's your word. And I ask you to speak to me through these words. And really show me what I have to convert in my life. And what do I need to change in my life? If this is really my desire, then the scriptures will speak to us. It can be in different ways. Sometimes scripture really shakes us up in an intense way. And it really obliges us to change inside. Sometimes it consoles us with tenderness, with an extraordinary gentleness. So it can be very different according to the circumstance. But it's always for our good, for our life. The scriptures are never there to discourage us, always to encourage us. Sometimes to encourage us in the direction of conversion. This is what has to change in your life because what you're living is not right. The scripture shows us, as it's said in the letter to the Hebrews, it's like a two-edged sword that goes down really deep, to the place where spirit, where our mind meets our soul, and it operates a discernment between what comes from the Spirit of God and what comes from our human psychology. It carries out a discernment. And sometimes it's very demanding. But it's never a word that condemns us. It says to us, you have to change, but I am with you in this path of conversion. This is the great difference in the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of the devil. The Holy Spirit puts us in truth, sometimes in a very demanding way, but always in encouragement. You are not alone. I am with you to help you in this path. Whereas the devil discourages us. He accuses us, and he gives us no solution. How, on the contrary, when the scriptures reveal something to us, they also give us a solution. So it's very different. But it's true that when we read the Bible, when we really receive it, when we read the gospel, and we receive it fully, then we take a risk. But it's very beautiful. Because it's a word of freedom. And it guides us to freedom. So I'd like to make another comment about the scripture. There are things that belong to the word of God. Something that's particular to the word of God is its authority. When we read the first chapter of St. Mark, we see that people were very struck by the authority of Jesus' word. This man does not speak like the scribes. He speaks with authority. And the word of Jesus has a particular authority because it's efficient. When Jesus says to the sea, be calm, during the storm on the lake,
calme se fait.
There comes a great calm.
Quand Jésus dit à un démon de partir,
when Jesus says to a demon to be gone,
le démon, il s'en va.
The demon goes.
Quand Jésus dit à quelqu'un,
when Jesus says to someone,
tes péchés sont pardonnés,
your sins are forgiven,
va en paix,
go in peace,
la personne trouve une paix profonde.
That person finds a deep peace.
Il retrouve sa dignité,
he discovers his dignity,
la joie d'être elle-même,
the joy of being himself. He is at peace and he is free. So there's a real effect of the word. And the Gospels really are a witness to this. And this authority of the word of God is very beautiful because it is at our service. And we need to rely on this authority of God's word. The word of God has an authority that no human word has. It has a particular strength. And sometimes in our lives, we go through time of struggle, of uncertainty, of difficulty. And in these moments, sometimes our greatest support is not in thinking of solutions. Even if we need them, we can't be lazy. But sometimes we come up against human situations that are very difficult. We ask ourselves what we should do. And we have reasons to worry. We also have reasons to be that will put us at peace. But when we're just thinking on a human level, sometimes we have a hard time getting out of it. Because in the scale, between the reasons we have to be worried and the reasons we find to be at peace, if there's this problem, I'll do this. But if this doesn't work, I'll do this. So we don't really know how the scale is going to tip. So what do we have to put on the scale? We have to put a word that has more weight and more authority than just our human reasoning. And this isn't bad, our human reason. But it also has its limits. And there are certain situations in life where what will give me peace, what will give me hope, what will give me trust is not just the fact of having thought a lot, but it's really in receiving the word of God, a certain word of the scripture. Don't be afraid. All of the hairs of your head have been numbered. I will be with you every day till the end of time. The Lord is my shepherd, for nothing shall I want. Even if my mother or my father abandon me, the Lord will receive me. Even if your sins are red as scarlet, they will become white as snow. There are so many words in Scripture that are words of encouragement for us and on which we can really rely. I have not come for the just, I have come for sinners, and so on. There are so many words in Scripture that in our time of struggle can be a strength for us to hold on to hope and to rediscover peace. So it's important for us that each day, at least, we take a little time to read the Scripture. And little by little, it will penetrate into us. And in time of necessity, these words will come back to our mind. And they will encourage us and enlighten our path. So there, too, is a very important dimension of prayer. In meditating and receiving the word of God. And when we can learn certain verses of Scripture by heart, or certain psalms, this is a great grace. There's one psalm we should all know by heart. The Lord is my shepherd. It's so beautiful.
C'est une grande aide pour nous.
And it's a great help for us.
Alors, je voudrais parler maintenant le dernier point que je voulais aborder.
So the last thing I'd like to speak about.
J'en ai déjà parlé un petit peu.
I've already spoken of it a little.
Et je pense que c'est très important pour la vie de prière aussi.
But I think it's another very important thing for prayer life.
C'est cette présence de Dieu dans notre cœur.
And that's the presence of God in our hearts.
Mais nous sommes le temple de l'Esprit Saint.
We are the temples of the Holy Spirit.
C'est une parole qu'on va trouver, je crois, dans la messe aujourd'hui.
I think we're going to find this verse in the Mass today.
Oui, Dieu est présent dans notre cœur.
God is present in our hearts.
Parce que nous sommes faits à son image.
Because we are made in his image.
Et puis aussi par la grâce du baptême.
And also through the grace of baptism.
La Trinité demeure en nous.
The Trinity dwells in us.
Mais de manière cachée.
In a hidden way.
Mais de manière réelle.
But in a real way.
Oui, c'est un très, très, très beau mystère.
It's a very, very beautiful mystery.
Voyez, tout ce que j'ai dit hier,
so everything I said yesterday,
on pourrait un petit peu le résumer de cette manière,
we can summarize it in a certain way,
mais dans une espèce de parabole.
In a sort of parable.
Oui. Qu'est-ce que c'est qu'être fidèle à la prière?
What does it mean to be faithful to prayer?
Jour après jour,
day after day,
semaine après semaine,
week after week,
année après année,
year after year.
Bien, je proposerai l'image suivante.
I would suggest the following image.
Donc, comme toute image, elle a ses limites.
Like all images, it has its limits.
Mais elle peut exprimer quand même des choses qui sont belles et importantes.
But they can really express something important.
Qu'est-ce que c'est que la personne qui persévère dans la prière?
What is it to be a person who perseveres in prayer?
Même quand c'est pas facile.
Even when it's not easy.
Bien, supposons un homme.
So let's imagine there's a man.
Un Américain, par exemple.
An American, for example.
Qui va en Europe.
That goes to Europe.
Là où j'habite.
Where I live.
Il y a de très jolis villages.
There are very nice little villages,
très anciens, oui.
Very old,
très belles maisons en pierre.
And very beautiful stone houses.
Donc, il tombe amoureux d'une maison dans un village.
So he falls in love with a house in a village.
Il achète cette maison,
and he buys this house.
La propriété autour.
He buys the land around it.
Donc, il va faire la maison très confortable.
And he renovates the house so it's very comfortable.
Beau jardin.
Puts in a nice garden.
Là, qu'au milieu du jardin, il y a un puits.
And then in the middle of the garden, there's a well.
Mais qui n'a pas servi depuis très, très longtemps.
But nobody's used it for a long time. And it's a well with a wall of stone around it. It's a well. But it's not used anymore. And in fact, it's blocked. There are rocks at the bottom. There's dead branches. There's mud. And there's even people who've used it as a trash can. So there's really dirty things in the well. But this American is a courageous man. And he says, well, it's too bad. Maybe there's very good water in this well. So let's go to work. So he goes down into the well. And this well is the image of our hearts. When we are faithful to prayer, we're forced to descend into ourselves as well. And the work is not always easy. Because what do we find in our heart? Sometimes we find big stones that are heavy. Sometimes there are things that are dead. Sometimes there are things that are not very clean in our heart. So it's not always easy to persevere. This experience of poverty that I spoke of. But we continue all the same. And then, little by little, as we dig, what does the man discover in the well? At the bottom of the well, in fact, there is a spring, and it's fresh, it's pure, and it's a very nice water.
And
he's happy when his friends come over because he can give them water from his well to drink. And it's much better than the water from the tap. I think this is our experience. That thanks to this faithfulness, we discover that what is deepest in us is this presence of God. Of course, we have wounds and fragilities in us. But what is the deepest part of us is pure. It's the presence of God.
Le centre de l'âme, c'est Dieu.
The center of the soul is God. St. John of the Cross says this. So at the end, we will meet this presence of God that is at the depths of our heart, as a pure spring, a source of life, a clear source.
Yeah.
And it's present within us. A source of peace, of purity, and holiness. This presence of God that is within us. So the Gospel of St. John speaks of this. Jesus who says, if somebody loves me, the Father and I will love him, and we will make our dwelling in him. So we discover this presence. So it's a path of faith, of fidelity, of perseverance. But it allows us little by little to make this discovery that all of our true treasure, all of the things we desire, they already are found within us. And this can orient our prayer life as well. Sometimes to recollect ourselves, to cut ourselves a little from the exterior world, and to go meet this presence of God that dwells within us in a very simple way. Lord, I believe you are there in my heart. I give you thanks to have made your dwelling place in me. And I go to meet you. I don't want to leave you alone. I want to welcome you. And I ask that this source that is at the depth of my heart might burst forth, that it might renew me, that it might purify me. And what happens progressively, it's very beautiful, is that the source of our life, of our decisions, of our words, they come from this deep place. This is kind of the drama of man. We're divided, we're dispersed. And very often our decisions, our actions, our words, they don't come from the deepest place in our heart. They come from our reactions, our psychological reaction, our aggressiveness, our fear, the things I look for. These are the things that govern our decisions sometimes. But thanks to this path that I speak of, little by little things are changed. My words, my decisions, my actions, they really come from my deep heart, the place where I'm in communion with God, this place of peace, this place of light, this place of life, this generous love that dwells within me. It becomes the source of the life I live. We are united with God, and at the same time, we are also really ourselves. So it's not always something we can feel, but it's a beautiful reality. And I think it's one of the fruits of faithfulness to prayer, that we're allowed to live more and more in communion with the presence of the Lord in our hearts as the source of our life. So we find a lot of saints who speak of this. And I'd like to finish with this, just simply reading a passage from Teresa of Avila. You know that Teresa of Avila, for a long, long number of years, she struggled with prayer. She prayed. She felt it was important. But she really struggled before the conversion that she experienced after 19 years of religious life. And one of the things that helped Teresa of Avila
D'abord, c'était de vivre cette amitié avec Jésus dont je parlais.
First, it was to live out this friendship with Jesus I've spoken of.
Et puis aussi de comprendre.
But also to understand
ce mystère de la présence de Dieu en elle.
The mystery of the presence of God within her.
Qui l'a aidé à entrer dans, enfin, à comprendre ce que c'était que le recueillement.
And this helped her to understand what it meant to recollect oneself.
Ce n'est pas simplement faire le vide.
And it's not just going into what is empty.
Qui est plutôt accueillir une présence.
But is more about welcoming a presence.
Qui devient,
That becomes alive.
Voilà ce qu'elle dit.
So this is what she says
le chemin de la perfection.
In the path of perfection. You will certainly laugh at me and say that it is perfectly clear. And you will be right to laugh, because for me it was unclear for some time. I understood that I had a soul, but what that soul merited and who dwelt in it, I did not understand.
Il lui a fallu du temps pour comprendre cela.
So it took her time to understand this.
Je savais que j'avais une âme.
I knew I had a soul,
qu'est-ce qu'il y avait à l'intérieur?
But what was inside it?
Je savais pas.
I didn't know that. Because the vanities of life covered my eyes with a blindfold. If I had understood, as I do fully now, that in the little palace of my soul such a great king was living, I think I would not have left him alone so often. But from time to time, I would have remained in company with him and would have tried to make his palace less dirty. If I understood who was dwelling in my heart or my soul,
je ne l'aurais pas laissé si seul.
I wouldn't have left him alone.
Puis j'aurais essayé de nettoyer un petit peu l'intérieur.
And I would have tried to clean up a little inside. She speaks like a woman. She like a woman who really likes things to be clean and it's beautiful. But what could be more marvelous than seeing him who would fill 1,000 worlds with his greatness, enclosing himself in such a small thing? That is how he chose to dwell in the womb of his most holy mother. As he is the Lord, he bears freedom within himself. And as he loves us, he fits himself to our measure.
Là aussi, c'est un très beau mystère.
This is a beautiful mystery too.
De l'humilité de Dieu,
the humility of God
parce qu'il nous aime,
that loves us
et qui se fait à notre mesure,
and that fits himself to our measure,
qui vient de nous
who comes to dwell in us.
C'est une des belles réalités de notre foi.
This is one of the beautiful realities of our faith. So I repeat, it's an act of faith. It's not something we experience right away. But if we're faithful to search for God within us and to meet him within us from time to time, this will be something we experience, that there is within us something that's greater than us. A beautiful mystery
qui est vraiment la source de notre vie véritable.
That is really the source of our life.
Donc ça pourra aussi, nous aider dans notre vie prière.
And this can also help us in our prayer life.
On peut pas toujours être à l'église.
We cannot always be in the church.
On peut pas toujours être devant le Saint-Sacrement.
We can't always be before the Blessed Sacrament.
Et nous avons toujours la possibilité.
But we always have the ability
d'accueillir cette présence de Dieu dans notre cœur.
Of welcoming this presence of God in our hearts. In the car, in the plane, in moments of recollection like this, we can welcome the Lord's presence. And I think that little by little, all of this changes the way we live. We find unity in our lives, and we find in God the true source. The source of our existence and how we hold ourselves in our life. So it'll never be perfect on this earth. We'll always have to struggle against our faults and our distractions, all of this. But it's not very serious. The important thing is to persevere. I think God will know how to guide us. He will know how to educate us. And he will know how to help us live more and more in communion with him.
À la fois dans nos
in our moments of prayer, but also in our daily life, to live more and more in contact with His presence and His love.
Amen.
Amen.
Je vais m'arrêter pour...